there and talk with all those trustees of the Stewards Foundation. But whatever, the Lord is in control. Let's turn this evening to Isaiah chapter 29, and we just want to look briefly at Isaiah 29, 30, 31, and 32. Now all we're going to do is look at the background, and then I want us to look at God's direction for Israel and how it relates to you and to me today. Now in chapter 29 of the book of Isaiah, we see the Lord speaking to Ariel, which is the hearth of God, and its location of the temple temple of God. And what it was all about, what God was speaking to the woe about, they were in trouble with the Assyrians. As we learned when we were studying chapters 36 and 37, Sennacherib. They were in trouble with the Assyrians, and they were depending on the worldly things around them to get them out of the trouble that they were in. Does that sound like anybody today? Does that sound like any country today? You see, they were relying on the world to get them from their difficulties. If you look in the last part of verse 5 of verse 29, chapter 29, I mean, and the Lord can make things happen. He says here, it shall be an instant suddenly. The Lord can, look what he did over in Europe, and we say that was fast. It wasn't fast compared to what he did in some of the conflicts that Israel had. He said things would happen overnight, and they did. And so you also see in the last part of verse 8 in chapter 29, so shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion. He says, they're going to be in trouble. The Lord has been telling Israel this. He's been telling nations this for thousands of years. They wouldn't listen then. Are we listening now? And so he says that there will be a redemption of the remnant of Israel. He goes down verse 17 and he says, is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. We're told this in when the Lord gave what we call the so-called Sermon on the Mount. There will be a time when Israel will receive her earthly blessing. There will be a time when there will be a millennium. Now, remember, when you read about the millennium, it is not perfection. Now, that's something that we need to understand. And if you don't understand that, sometimes the Old Testament scriptures will confuse you. The millennium is not perfection. Because after the 1,000 years, there's someone loosed for a little season. Who is it? For what purpose? To prove those that were not real. So there are those in the millennium that are not real. Now, in chapter 30, Isaiah goes on to speak to these people for the futility of their relying on Egypt. And he says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They take counsel of the wrong one, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Now listen, that they may add sin to sin. Sin's bad enough. But the Lord says that they may add sin to sin. Now, I want us to see this as we look here in verse 2. That walk, and I want to use tonight that word, walk. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Trusting in the world. You find more often than not in the back in the further pages of the Old Testament, when there were famines in the land, they would turn and go down into Egypt. rather than relying on God, they would turn and go to the world. But God says, for in verse 7 of chapter 30, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to what? Sit still. Let God do this." And he says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord." Now notice what these people won't do. And that's what people are saying today, by this side being completely empty tonight, people are saying this today, "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." That's what we're saying today. Just a little group. The Lord was speaking to a remnant. So don't despair by being a little group. The Lord was speaking to a remnant. And listen, my friend, only those that believe are going to go into heaven. Only those. Or John 3:18 is wrong. "He that believeth is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the Lord makes an appeal for the people to turn to him for help to the remnant in verse 18. And it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him." And this is what we need to see. He's a gracious God. It says in verse 19, "He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry." He's a gracious God to those that wait on him, to those that cry for him. And in verse 20 it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Now I want us to think of this also tonight. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." No matter whether we get out of the way to the left or to the right, if we are listening to the Lord, if we're following his commands, if we're listening to what he tells us, it says, "This is the way." You'll hear a word. The word behind thee saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left." Now, you often see when we're talking about the 23rd Psalm and about the armor of God, there isn't any protection behind it, but there is here, isn't it? You hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." How protective God is for you and for me. God's direction. God says in Isaiah 45 and 22, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there's none else." So God's direction is that we look unto him. And God's direction is that we look unto him to be saved. And God's direction is that the whole earth look unto him to be saved. For he says, "My direction is, there's none other. For I'm God." So we see here in chapter 29 that the people are blind. In chapter 30, we see that they were relying on Egypt. In chapter 31, it's to him and the remnant did that God will be their defender, not Egypt. And then in chapter 32, we see the coming reign of the king and his princes. The king and his princes. And they're coming, the coming time for Israel. The same coming time for you and for me. And so this we see this tonight. And I want to see in chapter 30 and verse 21, as we said, I want this to be our thought this evening. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Every way. And it's always been God's desire that we walk that way. Last Sunday evening we had Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1 where the Lord said, to Abram, I am the Almighty God, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. It's always been God's desire that we walk with him. Who walked with God and was taken? Enoch. Enoch was walked with God, and God took him. And this is, God wants you and he wants me to walk with him. It's always been his desire. And then nothing is withheld that you and I need. In Psalm 84 and 11, you might want to jot that down, Psalm 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that do what? Walk uprightly. There's that word walk again. Walk uprightly. So we see that nothing will be withheld that we need. He's the one that supplies all those needs. And he says he will supply all that we need. And so nothing is withheld from those that trust in him, that walk with him. We'll be supplied with everything that we need. Now, there are times we think, well, we just don't have all that we need. We don't have all the health that we need. Yes, we do. We have all the health that we need to get along as God wants us to get along. That's, you know, that's why we have that. And we need to trust in him for that. And so he also wants you and wants me to be in his directed path. And I'd like for you to look at Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. And there the Lord says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. In his directed path. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You say, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. But it's got a parallel in the New Testament. In 1 John 1 and 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps right on cleansing us from all sin. So it's a walk. No stumbling. Jude says he's able to keep us from stumbling. That's perhaps a better translation than falling. Keep us from stumbling. And you see, if we get proud, then we can turn off the light. We're able to walk without the light. We get proud, we don't need the light of God. Oh, my friend, how stupid that is, and how we need the light of God. And we also see in this group of chapters that we have tonight that the Lord is the light. The Lord is the light. And they don't need the sun, and the moon will be brighter than the sun, and the Lord is the light. And then we go to the book of the Revelation, and we find that the Lamb of God, the Lamb, is the light in that city. So the Lord is the light, and he will direct our path. And then we see also in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 that he wants us to be waiting, and waiting brings steadfastness. Waiting upon him. We read here tonight, be still, wait upon me. In Isaiah 40 and 31, Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. They're steadfast. They're steadfast because when we wait upon the Lord, our strength is going to be renewed. He's going to renew it moment by moment. And when we rely upon him, and then we're going to soar up, and we soar to the heights. We may be down in the dumps in our physical well-being, but in our spiritual well-being, we can soar with the heights, way up there with the eagles, where eagles soar and meet him. And we just run, and we're not weary. You say, well, that isn't very possible. Yes, it is. The Lord says it is. And we can walk and faint not, steadfast. And then the Lord has a requirement for you and for me. in Micah 6:8. And that is that we walk in humility. And it says in Micah 6:8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and here's this word again, walk humbly with thy God. My God and I go through the field together, walking with God. My God and I go through the field of this earth together. Aren't you glad of Isaiah 41:10, where he says, with his right hand he holds you? Aren't you glad of that? He holds us with his right hand, and we can go through the fields together. And then he wants us to have this knowledge that steps of faith are a necessity. We must have faith, and we must walk in those steps as a necessity. In Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he talks about Abraham as the father of circumcision in Romans 4:12. And he says, the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith, the steps of that faith. Who walks in the steps of that faith of our father Abram, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You know, in Philippians, if you turn to Philippians 1:1, I'd like for us to note something there. Philippians 1:1. And oft times we see things, and oft times we pass over things, and then other times the Lord brings them to our attention. It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the deacons and bishops. Now, you've probably heard all kinds of sermons on that, but did you ever think about the addresses that are in that verse of Scripture? Notice this. The addresses that, to all the saints, where are they? In Christ Jesus. That's our permanent address. And where are we presently located? He's speaking to these Philippians. At Philippi. So our permanent address is with the Lord Jesus. Our present address is here at Florence, in Florence, South Carolina. So isn't this wonderful? You see, we are in Christ Jesus. That's our permanent address. And we walk by the steps of faith. We need those steps of faith. And it's a necessity, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God wants us to walk that way, and we should walk that way, because we, our citizenship, our conversation, it says in one place, but a better translation, our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're just pilgrims passing through this land down here, in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And then we see that God wants us upright. In Romans 13:13, Paul says, let us walk honestly. He wants us to walk honestly, upright, as in the day, openly, not in darkness, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, that's closing out every thought but ours, and our vile thoughts and wantonnesses as deceit and hatred and things like that, not in strife and envying. He wants us to walk upright. Notice all these steps that we're to take. And we take steps as we walk. And our feet are to be shod with the gospel. And then he wants us to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is a substance. We often think that it is just a myth or something like that. But it tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. We have a substance. We have a home. We have a place prepared for us, reserved for us in glory. There's a man in the glory. Now, it's substance. He's there. He's the same man that rose from the dead. He's there in the glory for you and for me. There's mansions there. He said, or houses or rooms, however you want to interpret it, but there's a place there. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to prepare that place for me and for you. And He wants us to walk by that faith, not by sight. I can't see it, and yet I can. You can't see it, and yet you can. You say you're doing double talk. No, I can't see it with the physical eye, but you can close your eyes and see it in a spiritual eye. You can look in the Word of God and you can see it. You know, I don't think the Lord told us much about heaven so that we'll have all the eons of eternity to see how wonderful it really is when we get there. He gave us some things, but not near all of how wonderful heaven is. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And now in Galatians 5 and 25, and we see there, if we live in the Spirit, that should be since we live in the Spirit. If you look at Galatians, look there at chapter 5, and let's look at 24. Galatians 5 and 24. Look there. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Now you see there? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, that should be since we live in the Spirit. Not if, that's the same. If we live, it means since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit. And you see, we have to do that, or Romans 8 and 9 is wrong. If you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God wants us to do this, and He wants us to live by the Spirit's power that was prayed in our prayers tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us this Spirit to walk. It takes effort to walk spiritually. The Holy Spirit is the effort by which we walk spiritually. No other source is the power by which we walk spiritually than the Holy Spirit. He is the source of all our walk when we're walking the way that we should be. And then He wants us to be a bond slave. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle says, I therefore the prisoner, the bond slave, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that strong word, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, my friend, as a Christian, conduct should correspond with our words. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at a verse with me for a moment. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And each and every one of you in here tonight, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, have this. Now notice in verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation or the showing forth of the Spirit is given to who? Every person, every man, each person, to profit everyone. So you see, we each and every one of us have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of the whole body, for the whole group. And we are to, you can't say, I don't have it. The Bible says we do. And our conduct should correspond to the gift that He has given us. And everybody that has the Holy Spirit has at least one gift and can manifest the Holy Spirit. And to profit everyone, to profit each and every one, the entire assembly. That's what the profit is to be. And so then we see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 that we might walk, there's that walk again, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'd like for you to turn there with me to Colossians chapter 1. I don't know whether you noticed it before. Colossians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 9. And there the apostle says, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know what that was? One sentence. You read in the King James Version, and that's one complete sentence. Isn't that something? That's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe your new Bible doesn't have it that way. But my English teacher in college told me that, not necessarily just to me, but to the class, that this is the most grammatically correct book that's ever been written, the King James Version of the Bible. And so that's one sentence there, from chapter 1, verse 9, clear through 17. And he wants us, you see, in verse 10, that we might walk worthy of the Lord. That we might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good word and increasing in the knowledge of God. All pleasing. That's what he would like us to be. And so we're all saved ones. Those back here that were the remnants that he's speaking about in Isaiah, all the saved ones. But don't forget that in the millennium, there are going to be those that are not real when you're studying the Scriptures. And that's the reason for the release of Satan for a little season. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, and it speaks there, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto it. And if you look in verse 23 of that chapter, it says the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer. He's the light there. Just think of that. All those things we read up in Colossians, He is. But think of this. Light emanates from Him. He is light. He was light back there in Isaiah. You can read that back there. And He's light in the New Testament. He's the light for everyone that is saved. And so, if we could look at God's direction, look unto me. God's direction, first, is to look unto Him. And be ye saved. That's his desire. Who? All ye ends of the earth. For I am God. When you look, you'll see. And there's none else. For I am God, and there's none else. Oh, I hope that we can glean from this and see there... And glad that there was a remnant. God saved the remnant, those that trusted in Him, and God always saves those that put their trust in Him. And when we do, He desires that we should walk in the light, as He is in the light, and then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Might we sing a hymn in closing? I'd like for us to also think this evening about Mary's relatives there. And I would like for us to, Mary, for you to tell us what they might need. Let's just not say something. Let's do something as an assembly for one of our sisters whose family has had difficulty. So let's keep that in mind and let's not forget it. Let's do something for them. As we sing number 164, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Verse 1 of 164. Standing as we sing just the first verse.